Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are gathered together this morning for worship for the first Sunday in Lent to hear our words, our Lord's word of forgiveness and life everlasting. Let us now turn in our bulletins to our opening hymn, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 18th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 602, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives, hymn number 602, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Vernon and Janet Clockengay are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of their 62nd wedding anniversary.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
and you forgave the iniquity of our sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
People through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday in Lent, is from the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the first verse. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father!" And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. And when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built there the altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said to him, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Table of Duties, what does the Table of Duties say to husbands?
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them.
The epistle reading from James, the first chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he had come up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 707, Oh That the Lord Would Guide My Ways, hymn number 707, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from our Old Testament reading. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine what Abraham's going through? I know, I can't imagine what Abraham is going through. We could spend hours and hours imagining or thinking about what is going on through his head. What he thought as he heard the command from God to slaughter his son. What he was thinking when he split the wood as he traveled for 3 days with his son and two other men. But if you do think about it, and you ponder it, and you wonder about it, Don't forget the promises that God had made to Abraham. Don't forget the previous events of Abraham's life. Abraham was called out of idolatry to go to the place that God would show him. So he went out, not knowing where he was going. The promise was given that he would be made into a great nation and that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. And what did Abraham do? He packed up and he went. And God protected him throughout all of his ups and his downs. God gave him a covenant. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham and his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah as signs of the covenant. God protected Abraham from his own foolishness. Twice. Remember, twice he is the one who told his wife to tell the people of the towns he was going into, tell them you're my sister, not my wife. Because he was afraid. That really messed things up for him. But God rescued him, saved him out of that. Abraham had listened to Sarah and took the servant Hagar as a spouse and had a child by the servant. He tried to make God's promise come true by his own works. And that did not work out so well for him either. God held on to him, though. In trusting God's mercy, Abraham interceded for Sodom. When he was 100 years old, his wife had the son that was promised to them. And they named their child Isaac. So in and through the years, God protected Abraham from hostile actions and from his own foolishness. And through all of these events of Abraham's life, just like us, Abraham learned to trust God. Now comes the supreme trial and hardship. Will God keep his promise? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, to the place where I will show you, and there sacrifice him as a burnt offering. What was going through Abraham's mind? Scripture really doesn't tell us, but what Scripture does tell us is quite enough for us. Abraham had faith that God would keep his promises. As it is written in Romans chapter 4, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We understand Abraham's confidence in God with the words of the text. Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy are going to go over there and worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham was so intent that God would keep his promises, he was unwavering in his certainty. I and the boy will come back to you. Will come back. There is a picture of faith under duress. God will keep his promise. We also hear Abraham answer Isaac. God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And indeed, God would provide that sacrifice centuries later. A lamb would be provided, and that lamb would be a descendant of Abraham according to the flesh and a descendant of David according to the flesh, of the house and line of David, Jesus of Nazareth. Abraham had faith in resurrection. He confidently trusted that God's word and that God would keep his word. What then is faith? The writer to the Hebrews expresses to us what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, the writer to the Hebrews says, we understand that the world was made out of nothing, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place where he did not know. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand on the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things that were promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the very act of offering up his own son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered, and this is what the writer to the Hebrews said, you want to know what was in Abraham's head as he was dealing with all of this. This is exactly what's going through Abraham's mind. This is what Abraham trusted. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. That's what Abraham was thinking. I will sacrifice my son, but God will give him back to me. God will raise him from the dead because God keeps his promises. With Abraham as an example and by Holy Spirit given faith, we have the conviction that through Jesus, we too will be raised from the dead. We too will be resurrected on the last day when Jesus returns. Like Abraham, we have faith born of evidence and the promise seen from afar. What evidence, you might ask? As the Lord approached the town of Nain, he met a funeral procession leaving the city. And in the coffin was a young man, the only son of a widow. And when Jesus saw the procession, his heart went out to the lady, to the woman, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Jesus came close and touched the coffin and spoke to the dead man. "Young man, I say to you, get up." Obeying the divine order, the young man sat up and began to talk. The mourning was turned to awe and praise. God has come to his people. The Lord was surrounded by crowds when Jairus came to him, begging him to visit his house and heal his dying 12-year-old daughter. Jesus decided he would go to see the daughter, to heal her. And remember, just as they were going headed that way, some servants from Jairus' house, some folks from Jairus' house had come and said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter has died." But Jesus spoke to Jairus with these words of hope. "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." And upon arriving at the house, Jesus went with the parents of the girl into the room, grabbed her by the hand, and said to her, "My child, get up." And the scripture tells us her spirit returned to her, and she stood up at once. And then, of course, there's Lazarus. When Jesus asked Martha, "Don't you believe your son will rise from the dead?" "Yes, Lord, I believe that he will rise from the dead on the last day." Jesus replied to her at that moment, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" And Martha replies, "Yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world." And after that, Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb, asked everybody to roll the stone away, and spoke into the darkness, "Lazarus, come forth." And according to the divine command, Lazarus believed him, listened to him, and came out of the tomb. In these examples, we have a resurrection faith. Jesus has authority over death, not just our death, but over his own death too. Jesus said, "The Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." It is also written, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he had suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all of those who obey." Jesus has overcome death. Yes, he did die, but he did not stay dead, but rather became the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep. As the apostle writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe that through Jesus, God will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep. Therefore, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, like Abraham, what do? Right smack dab in the midst of all the trial. We believe the word. We believe the promise of resurrection life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You believe in him, and you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible, and you are filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you would find links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. We pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Heavenly Father, as we begin the darkened days of Lent, we remember our own mortality and that we too face the darkness of death. Since we must face death, we ask for the faith of Abraham that trusts in the resurrection of the dead. We ask also for Martha's faith that trusts that Jesus is the Christ and that in him we have life everlasting. Thank you, O Lord, that Jesus has destroyed death so that we may not fear our last day, but rather be certain that the closing of our eyes here is but the beginning of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you are the giver of all good gifts. Receive now the thanks and praise of Vernon and Janet Clockingay as they today celebrate their 62nd wedding anniversary. Lord, you have graced their years with mutual support and love, the devotion of family, and the years to see and to get to know even their great-grandchildren. For these blessings and for the gift of faith in Christ, we thank you and implore you to grace Vernon and Janet with even more years to celebrate their love. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord Jesus Christ, you know our infirmities and weaknesses. We humbly ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of those who are sick and in need of healing. We pray for Devin Biggs as he will soon have shoulder surgery, asking that by your grace he will be granted the needed relief, quick healing, and a swift return to daily activities. We also thank you that Carl Awe has come home from the hospital, and we ask that the doctors find and alleviate the source of his ailments. Also do we ask that Duke Noble would be granted health and continued healing, and even though his healing process has been slow, we trust you will work all things to his good. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, thank you for granting joy to Tim and Kathy Neitzel at the birth of a new grandson, Nash Yarko Neitzel, born to Ethan and Ashley. We pray for Nash's continued health and well-being, asking your blessings upon mother and child, and that Nash be brought to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made your child and heir. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, as we approach the holy sacrament of the altar, we implore you that here we would find in your body and blood the strengthening of our faith and in the forgiveness of our sins the promise of eternal life. For where there is no sin, there is no death, and if no death, there is only life. Strengthen us in this faith, now and forevermore. In your holy name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 718, Jesus, Lead Thou On. Hymn number 718, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you. Please be seated. Just want to make a couple announcements this morning. First of all, check your bulletin for all of the announcements that are there. Especially remember that this Wednesday is Lenten meal at 5:30, followed by Lenten service at 6:30. I know there's two folks there wanting to make an announcement, so if you want to come forward, please come all the way forward to the lectern. Some people in the back have a hard time hearing under the balcony. Lectern's up.
I know. I have a loud enough voice.
No, please use the microphone.
Use that? Okay.
Please.
Okay. The school, we're having Hobbies and Careers Day, and we would love for people from the church to speak at our Hobbies and Careers Day. So if you have a hobby or career that you'd like to share with us for the day, please see me, and I'll get you signed up. We have both morning and afternoon sessions available. It's about an hour time commitment at most, so if you would be happy to share a hobby or career, please let me know. Thank you.
Going to start doing a indoor spring cleaning on March 9th. It's to get the church and the education building ready for the Easter festivities here. Some of the different jobs are sanding and polyurethaning the rails by the back door and uplifting some of the doors in the back part by the kitchen, polishing the pews and vacuuming, but there's a lot of other jobs. There is going to be a sign-up list on the in this middle zone on the ledge. And if you have questions, feel free to contact Ray or I. It starts at 8:30, and we are going to have a second cleaning day on April 28th. That starts around 3 p.m., and that's going to include the outdoor cleaning as well, like normal.
All right, thank you, Megan. What now? No, I do not see you.
Marsha Greenslade asked me to remind you all about the meal like he did. And this, if you would like to pick up a menu, they're out on the, where the bulletins are, on the purple sheet. And since I'm cooking Wednesday, I would like everyone to come so that I don't have a whole bunch of leftovers. So. The meal is chicken and noodles and green beans, rolls, and dessert. So hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. I had this overwhelming desire, since we had two Megans and a Patty, to start singing "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other." One of these things. But flashback to Sesame Street. Anyway, may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.